Well, it's a good thing I did a little preparation earlier in the week because I've been busy since 4:45 this morning and had two service calls since I've been home from supper, so I don't know what's happening, but I didn't want it quite that way. Anyhow, this is a prayer meeting and a Bible study, and we'll study together, and if you participate, you get something out of it. If you just sit there, you might not get anything. So it's up to you. And my thoughts, Jason asked me to speak because he was speaking. And so he had to speak last Sunday and this Sunday. That's why I'm up here. So to get our thoughts in the right train, I want to tell you a little story. And it's about what does this mean? And Grandpa took his son to church one Sunday morning, and they opened up in a word of prayer, and he says, "What does this mean?" And the grandfather tried to quietly tell him what it meant, and then they sung a song, and he wanted to know why they did that. What does that mean? And they went on through the service, and some of the people were putting up with it, but they thought it might was a little maybe a nuisance. But then the preacher got up to study to the podium. And he took off his watch and he laid it right out there. And the boy said to Grandpa, he says, "What does that mean?" "Oh," he says, "son, I sat through many a long sermon and I don't think it means anything." But that's not the point. The point is, what does this mean? And I want to talk a little bit about things in our life that fly out in front of somebody and they'll ask, "What does that mean?" And that's a humorous story, but the point is that there's people all around looking at you and looking at me, and they see certain things in our lives, and it gives opportunity for us to tell them what that means. And for our Bible reading, we want to go to Joshua, and it's a fairly long passage, but I'm going to try and read through it because I think it's important that chapter 4, and it's about the two memorials that Joshua was instructed by the Lord to set up. And let's all turn to Joshua 4, and I'll start reading, and we'll read down through the 18th verse, I believe. "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulders." And I'll say this right now, that the stones must have been not little pebbles, but when you carried a bag of cement, you couldn't carry too far in the front of you. You had to get it on the shoulder. It's big and heavy. So every man, they had big stones. And upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, and Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there until this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. The people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of all the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel. And Moses spake, as Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto the battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up upon the dry ground, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all its banks as they did before. Now that's a nice story, a good story. And there's a lot of meaning in it, and we're going to talk about just one part of it. You know, we all need memorials in our life, or things in our life that others can see. And they'll ask, why do you do this, or whatnot. Or it's a testimony to the outside world of what a Christian should be doing. You know, we're all leaders to someone. It doesn't make no difference how young you are. There's always somebody younger looking at you. You know, you might be 12, and there's a little boy that's only 4 looking at you. And he's watching what you do. And, you know, there's people watching what I do, you know. But then again, I have a mother there. She's a little older than I am, and I'm watching what she's doing, you know. And some of us are Sunday school teachers, And some of us do other things, but we're all leaders and we're all examples. And let's turn our Bibles into to 1 Timothy 4:12. And there's a good verse there. 1 Timothy 4:12, thinking of this business of examples. If I can find it here. And it goes like this. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's a big order. That takes in everybody, you know. Be an example. And you know, if you name the name of Christ, you want to be careful how you live and how you act and what you say. So the apostle was telling young Timothy that he's an example to all the people. And so we too, as Sunday school teachers and different things, are examples, and we're leaders. And people are looking up to us. And you know, thinking of this, you know, we need some stones in our life. We need a memorial in our life. We need some objects in our life that people can see and that they'll say, why do you do these things? And then we'll have opportunity to tell them. And we see that in verse 6 in Joshua. And it says, when your children asked, what mean ye by these stones? You know, it's a good opportunity when somebody asks you a question. Then you can give it to them, the whole thing, you know. And you don't have to come in cold turkey or anything like that. And so we need some stones in our life, each one of us. And you know, last Monday I saw the Jordan River, and it was muddy, and it was flowing over. And you say, well, how did you see the Jordan River? Well, I saw it on the news with Peter somebody, or one of them guys. But, you know, it reminded me of Joshua. He placed 12 stones in the center of that river. And you know, it says they're there till this day. But you couldn't see them. You know. And that's a different kind of a subject than we're going to talk about. There's some things in our lives we ought to bury, you know. We ought to put to death. And it was just interesting to me to see the Jordan River that he stood right there on the edge of it there, and it was flowing over its banks, and it was dirty as all. You couldn't see nothing. You know, it's not like our clean. So, but we in our lives need to take up some stones, and we need to get them up on the dry land and in our life where people can see them, and they will be a testimony. And I thought for a little while we could go down through some of these. I listed some things that you might call a stone in your life, and the foundation stone would be salvation. You know, a nice big stone. And let's turn to Peter, 1 Peter 1:23, and it tells us that being born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And each one of us want to have that stone in our life. Being born of incorruptible seed. You know, Peter McCosey, he was died, you know, and his life is over with here, you know. But our life, if you're born of incorruptible seed, will go on and on forever. And in that in mind, let us turn to Galatians 4 and 4 and you know, there's a lot of scriptures to turn to, but it's good to turn to them and find and read them. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to buy them back. And that's you and I. He went to the cross to buy us back. We were once His, and we sinned. Adam sinned and threw the whole race into sin. But God went to the cross to buy us back, to redeem us, to redeem them that were under the law of sin, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Born of incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. And I'm glad that it's incorruptible and it's forever. And so, if we have salvation, we are an heir of God. We are a son of God. And we should be careful how we conduct ourselves. And in Mark 14:36, maybe I better. That's the Lord after He had prayed in John 17. He went over to the brook Kidron and entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, and He called on Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Beloved Father. You know, in John 17, He called Him Righteous Father, but, you know, He had an intimate relationship with the Father. Beloved Father. And, you know, here we read that we can cry, Beloved Father, you and I. We're children of the Lord God Almighty. And in Romans 8, we read some more about this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then we go down into the 17th verse. If children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that ye suffer with Him, that ye may also be glorified with Him. And we have a great Father in heaven, which we are sons and daughters. And you know, that's a great, them are great verses of assurance. You know, when I'm born in the family of Ed Palmer, I'm a Palmer. I can't change that. And you know, when you and I are born into the family of God, we're a son of God. It doesn't make no difference how we might wander around, you know, and it doesn't make no difference how I might wander around, I'm still Palmer. Because I was born in that family. And you know, God gives us the assurance of salvation. We're sons of His and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Well, we have to have a a stone of salvation. And you know, and then there's another stone of baptism, and we read in Romans 6, Romans 6:4, we read, "For we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So if you've not been baptized, it's a good witness. It's a good stone it's to have in your life. And I must hurry. There's other scriptures, if you want to read them at home, 11 through 13 is reckon ourselves also dead to sin. And you know, it's the value that we put upon baptism, what it's going to mean to us. You know, it's like a dollar bill. You know, it means something to us. But it doesn't mean anything to somebody in some other country that don't know nothing about it. It's just a piece of paper. And that same thing with baptism. When we realize what it means in our life, that's the important thing. And so we need to have a stone of baptism for a memorial. And then prayer, you know, we need to have prayer in our life. And we need to be thankful for food. And do we give thanks for the food when we sit down? And even in the restaurant sometimes, you don't have to be conspicuous about it, but it's good to bow your head and give thanks and pray. So we need to have stone of prayer in our life. And I remember Alan Forbes did that once, and the waitress said to him, "Is there something wrong with food?" "No," he says, is there anything wrong with thanking God for it?" he says. You know, so it's a good thing. Pray for others. You know, we need to pray one for another. You know, we're all come up against different things in as the days go on. And in James 5:16, it tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I was going to have us look up all these scriptures, but I'm not going to get any place. So we need to have reading God's Word. You know, the youngest of us need to read God's Word every day. Now, I'm not a good reader, and I'm not a great studier, but you know, I created the habit of reading a few verses every day, and that's the first thing I do when I get up in the morning, is I sit down at the kitchen table and I read a few verses. And I go through the daily bread, and if the scripture is too long, I only read a few of them. But you know, over the years of doing that, that's hiding God's word in your heart. And you don't have to read long passages. So if you're young and you're not a good reader, or you're not interested, it's good just to read a couple verses and have them in your mind. And you know, even though you get up and you forget them right away, they come back to you later on, you know. And so you got to hide God's word in our heart. And the Lord told Joshua that he should have the word in his heart, and he would prosper. And you can, that's Joshua 1:8. And then good habits. We need to have good habits in our life. And you know, people watch us, and they know you come every Thursday night to prayer meeting. That's a good habit, you know. You know, when you hear the word habit, you start to think of bad ones all the time, but there's good ones to have. And we must create good habits in our lives, you know, and God will reward us for that. Carrying your Bible, giving out tracts, you know, that's good habits to do, you know. And I go play golf pretty near every Saturday when it's good, and I enjoy playing, you know. But I got a nice little tract from the Golf Association, and when we're done, Eric and I playing and shake hands with the guy, I hand out a tract to him. And it's about a pro golfer. And, you know, it's a good habit to have, you know. And so we need to have good habits. And the verse for that is Philippians 2:16. We'll look that one up. I forget what that is right now. Philippians 2. Yeah, holding forth the word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored. Holding forth the word of life. And, you know, we need to have the stone in our life of holding forth the word of life. Maybe you can talk to somebody easier. But if you can't talk, you can give out some written word. Or you can do some other. And then there's the a stone of remembering. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told us to remember Him. He didn't tell us to worship Him, but He told us to remember Him. Do this in remembrance of me. And you know, if we remember the Lord and what He has done for us, it can't help but bring out worship and gratitude in one's life. Do this in remembrance of me. And the Lord wants us to come on Sunday morning and remember Him and what He has done for us. And you know, we need a loving spirit as well. And 1 John 4:11. You know, sometimes it's a little hard to love some people, but we still need a loving spirit. And we should demonstrate that one to another. And it says in 1 John 4:11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And we need a stone of loving one another and expressing it to each other. And we need a stone of additions. You know, Peter tells us to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temper. And we always want to be adding to the memorial of our life. And then also we need a stone of forgetting. The Apostle Paul, I believe that's him, said in Philippians 3, he says, "Forgetting those things which are behind, and pressing on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And each one of us should have a stone of forgetting. You know, we might have failed the Lord back there sometime, but we can press on to serve Him and to honor Him in all that we do. And then, you know, there's a stone of no return. You know, this life is a one-way street. We're only going through it once, dear friends, just once. And we need to have a memorial. We need stones in our lives that others will say, hey, how come, Don, you do that, you know? That's my habit, to come every Thursday night, you know? And, you know, when I was working in construction and whatnot, we used to be out all day long in the cold, and we were dirty and crummy. And you know, Larry and I, we had to do a major 99 and a 100% do-over when we came home, you know? But, you know, the habit of coming to prayer meeting on Thursday night, and that's where I was going to be on Thursday night, I didn't even think about it when I come home. You just got there and got ready, and that's where you were. And you didn't have to say, well, who's speaking, or am I too tired, or have I worked too long today? No, we need to have these stones in our life, these things in our life that others will get testimony from them that we know the Lord and love the Lord, and they'll be of help, and we'll be able to witness for Him. Now, we could have went into these a lot more in detail, but the two memorials, Joshua, the Lord told Joshua to pile up these 12 stones on the dry land, so that the kids would ask of their fathers, how come? And we need things, fathers and mothers and children in our lives, that people will ask, how come? What's that mean, Gramp? So let's have some stones in our life. Let's bow on a word of prayer now. And dear Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we pray that Thou might speak to us through it day by day as we read it, as we hear it, and that we might be able to conduct our lives and be of testimony to Thee, and that we might have a life that others would question us, and that we might be able to tell them of Thy great love for them. Be with us now as we go, and through the remainder of the week, help us, we pray, each one. In Jesus' name, amen.